the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Page. I'm your host, as always, Phil Brown, and absolutely delighted to be joined here with the fantastic ESPN's Mark Ogden. He joins me from time to time throughout the season, gives me his pearls of wisdom on everything that's going on with the Manchester clubs, and so much to talk about there. This is just prior to Man City's game at home against Liverpool in the Champions League. Big, big game there. Okay, how's things, mate?
All very well, thank you. Yeah, it was a busy weekend. You know, United winning at the Etihad back here tonight for the Liverpool game, so it's all going on at the moment.
It's been a big 7 days for Man City, almost an unthinkable 7 days. I must admit, I was dreading the derby as a United fan. I thought this was all set up for City to win. But before we get to the derby, let's talk about the game last week against Liverpool, 3-0. And they conceded three goals again. This is they conceded four at Anfield earlier. Does Jurgen Klopp have Guardiola's number? Because you can't really take into consideration the first game that he had after Manny was sent off. It was a different game. But does Klopp have his number?
Well, I'll answer that point in a minute, but you mentioned it's a big 7 days. And it's a big 10 days, because that Liverpool game was the first, you know, ever Liverpool, United, Liverpool and Tottenham away. And you know, the Spurs away game on Saturday, you know, you've got four huge games for City, and all of a sudden, if they lose that game at Spurs on Saturday and United beat West Brom, beat Bournemouth, the gap will be 7 points. And I'm not for 1 minute saying that United can win the league, but having been told for long parts of this season it's the best Premier League team we've ever seen, and it's, you know, this is the team of the ages, you know, they might end up winning this league by single digits. And I think you get back to Klopp, I think Klopp does have his number a bit, but I think Mourinho did as well at the weekend. And I think we may now be seeing that teams have finally realised that the way to stop Man City is to have a go at them and not sit back and defend in numbers, as Newcastle have done, as other teams have done, as Chelsea did at the Etihad. I think a lot of City's success this season is now the fact that too many teams have been almost cowardly in the way they've gone at them and just given them scope to attack them. And Liverpool have never, ever sat back under Klopp. And I think that's the one thing that hurts City. They've got this fantastic attacking forward line of three, you know, Firmino, Sane and Salah. And I think that's the one thing that City haven't been able to cope with, because they don't get tested enough. And when they are tested, the gaps are there. And I think Klopp, in a way, has given the blueprint to everybody else as to how to beat City, albeit with some great forwards.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you're assessing Guardiola, look, Manchester City have been superlative this season. I mean, I've begrudgingly looked at them at times this season and went, they're just sensational, the way they can rip teams apart. But you're right, a lot of teams sit back. And we've seen clip after clip of teams just letting City have the ball, letting them come at them and afraid to break. Because one of the things that City do very, very well with the Dark Arts is as soon as you win the ball back, they foul you, and they foul you when nothing early is in the pitch, so that they don't get yellow cards and they instantly break up your attack. Does Guardiola not get enough credit for doing the ugly state of the game well?
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. You know, I think Mourinho mentioned that prior to the derby at Old Trafford. He talked about City's tactical fouls, and you're right, you know, there's a little kind of nudge in the centre circle and just something to kind of break up play, and so he can get back in formation, get back in position. But even at Barcelona when Pep was there, that was the case. It was always, you know, people like Busquets in the team and Puyol, they knew how to break the game up. But I just think that they have been fantastic this season. They've been a breath of fresh air at times, but for too long, too many teams were kind of in absolute awe of Man City and just didn't know what to do apart from sit deep. And I was at Newcastle that night in December when Benitez sent his team out. It was basically, it was 11 men behind the ball, and they lost 1-0. And you know, they could have nicked it, a draw at the end. But it was just like, is this what it's become to the Premier League? I'm thinking, you know, if you're the broadcasting holders for this, do you really want to watch all these teams just sit back and try and soak up and ultimately get bit, you know, turned over? So, but I do think that teams have found a way to go at them, and I think also that's coincided with one or two of the City players feel a bit leggy and a bit fatigued. I saw De Bruyne at Anfield last week. I thought he was struggling a bit, and I think, you know, Pep hasn't really rotated as much, and they've really, really, you know, listen, at the end of the day, it's paid off, because they're going to win the league by a distance, and maybe that's because they put so much in early season. We saw it when United won it last under Fergie. They were so far ahead by the end of January, February that they tailed off, and right, because they put so much effort into it. And I think City may be finding the same sort of problem.
When you look at Abramovich's first 10 years at Chelsea, he got the two finals, two European Cup finals, four semi-finals. in the 10 years since City have been bought, they've had one semi-final. That's it. Why are they struggling in the Champions League so bad?
Well, Chelsea also in the Europa League as well, didn't they, under Benitez in 2013. Yeah. So, you know, their record. It's funny, I was thinking this today because, you know, the 10th anniversary of Sheikh Mansour's come up in September, and I thought the first 10 years of Chelsea was a lot more. In fairness to Chelsea, they started off from a much higher base. They were already a coming force, I should say. They'd won a couple of European trophies prior to that. Ruud Gullit had started the ball rolling. So by the time Abramovich came in, the foundations were already there. They'd already signed Frank Lampard. They already had people like John Terry. But, you know, City, you know, 10 years in, you're right, it's not very impressive, is it? You're like, what, one Champions League semi-final in 10 years, three league titles, an FA Cup and a couple of league cups. It's not what you'd expect, but it's a more competitive league than any other in Europe. And, you know, they're never going to become PSG. But, you'd have expected a little bit more return. I think one of the reasons for that is that the club, certainly supporters just don't get the Champions League. They're interested, but they have this kind of hate relationship with it. They really don't want to fall in love with it. And, you know, you can go to Old Trafford, you go to Anfield on a European night, and you can feel it in the air. You can feel the anticipation. You come to City, and it's the first thing they want to do is boo the UA for anthem. You've got a chip on the shoulder about, maybe it's too strong to say chip on the shoulder, but they've got a thing about FFP and how UEFA have ganged up on them, and they need to let that go. You know, they need to kind of embrace it, because it's the best competition by a million miles. And perhaps they just don't like not getting their own way, because in the Premier League they have been doing that, and they still haven't been able to crack the code when it comes to Real, Barcelona, Bayern Munich. And but they don't enjoy it. And tonight, the first thing you'll notice is they'll boo the anthem and almost like tell UEFA to get out of our house.
Well, if Guardiola doesn't win the European Cup, and look, we've seen Man City managers get sacked for winning the league hasn't been enough. Pellegrini won the league, Mancini won the league. If Guardiola just adds a Premier League title to his reign, is that enough to say he's been a success?
No, because he was hired and recruited to win the Champions League and turn Man City into one of the game's super clubs. And, you know, he's 18 months, 2 years into his 3-year contract. I'm sure he'll extend that at some point. And, he could end up doing what he's been brought to do, but, you know, he is regarded as the best coach in the world. He's a trophy manager. By getting him, since you've got a trophy, he's been Pep. But, you know, he hasn't got to a Champions League final since 2011. So he hasn't. And the two, I'm being harsh here, but the two that he won with Barcelona and Lionel Messi. And, you know, we've seen his teams capitulate in semi-finals since then, you know, for Bayern against, I think, Real Madrid and Barcelona. So, you know, Pep's a great coach and he's a great visionary, but he has to win the Champions League at Man City to make it all worthwhile. You know, if he doesn't, then where do we go from here? Because he is the guy that wins the Champions League, allegedly, but he's, like I say, hasn't won for 7 years and probably isn't going to win one this year either. So it's a conundrum that City have got to get over, because if Pep can't do it, then who can?
Red half of Manchester, they badly needed this result at the weekend. First half, the game should have been out of sight. Raheem Sterling cost City the game. He got back into it with Paul Pogba for performance that they badly needed from Pogba. Mourinho will have been desperate to get this result against Man City. They've got it 3-2. Now, it has to be a springboard. It has to be a marker. It can't just be United getting up for a one-off game, winning it, and then going back to normal. How important do you think that result will have been for United and for Mourinho?
I think it was absolutely huge, because the way it was going, it could have been 4 or 5 at half time, and if that had been the case, it would have been an absolute humiliation, and there's a long way back from that. I just think it meant a lot in terms of beating City and beating Guardiola, because City have had the sign on United in recent years, and I think this season United have, you know, quietly, I suppose, they've beaten Liverpool, they've beaten Tottenham, they've beaten Chelsea, they've beaten Arsenal, now they've beaten City, and I think, you know, that's a big thing, because since Fergie, that's not really happened. It's been a struggle, and I think they now know they can come to the home of the biggest rivals, who were desperate to win the league that day, and they've beaten them convincingly in the end. So I think for next season it means a lot that they know how to beat Man City, and they're going to have the confidence to do that. Players in that team, it's like winning that trophy, isn't it? As soon as you win your first trophy, you believe you can do it again. And a lot of those players will have come to the Etihad, a place where City haven't lost in the league for 16 months, 18 months, and they've won. So when they come in next season, they believe they can do it again. And I don't think City can have a season next season like they had this year. I think to go 19-20 games winning streak, I just think it's impossible, because you look at, you know, the games this season, Huddersfield away, Southampton at Old, it won with late goals, and you look at the United results over Christmas when they drew at Leicester, drew against Burnley, drew against Southampton. They just dropped 6 points out of nowhere, you know. And in an ordinary season, City wouldn't have won those late games, and City United would have picked up the points. It would have been much closer by now. So City have had a freak season, but they've earned the right to have a freak season. I think next year it will be a lot closer because United will be a lot stronger. I think Liverpool as well. You know, if they can keep Salah, I think they will be a contender next season.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, this summer, of course, United, Ibra's already gone, Carrick will go, Fellaini will go, Luke Shaw looks like he will go. Some question marks over Anthony Martial. I don't know if you know anything about the Anthony Martial situation, but what do you expect United will do this summer, Augie?
Well, I mean, I did a piece a couple of weeks ago. I think as many as 10 could go because, you know, whether that will happen. But you mentioned those names. You've got Darmian, you got Daley Blind, you got people like Chris Smalling, who first half was awful, second half scored a goal that he'll always be remembered for. And I think there are a lot of players, you know, have question marks over them. They've got two full-backs who are basically converted wingers who've been, you know, been a real find for Mourinho. But they shouldn't be relying on converted wingers signed by Sir Alex Ferguson donkeys years ago. They should be looking at proper fullbacks. So I think there'll be two decent fullbacks will come in, I imagine. They need somebody in midfield who can play alongside Matic and free Pogba. And, you know, when Matic plays alongside Pogba, he's having to kind of do two jobs at the same time because he's got to keep an eye on Pogba's wanderings. And I think when he plays alongside McTominay, he looks a lot more relaxed, Matic, and more assured in his role. So I think you need somebody alongside Matic. And if Martial goes, you know, I'm not sure Martial will be a great loss. I think he's got potential, but since his debut against Liverpool, he's flattered to deceive. So I can see a bit of churn this summer. United say every year they don't want churn, but it happens every year. So they just need to add quality rather than quantity, I think. That's the key.
Any names? Anyone you're confident will come either to United or City?
Well, it's a tough one to tell because I think the World Cup is going to be getting in the way. I think 12 months ago, everyone thought Antoine Griezmann would end up at Man United. So I'm not sure that's going to happen there because I just think, you know, they brought in Sanchez and I think, where does Griezmann fit? And I think the key this summer is the kind of the defensive aspect. And I think, you know, he does like Rafael Varane at Real Madrid. I think he's a player that he will definitely try and get. He needs a left back. You know, that's fairly obvious. And, you know, where do you go for a left back? Sandro at Juventus is a name that keeps doing the rounds. It's a difficult one because I think the big clubs will have a look at the same players. It's Fred and Shakhtar Donetsk. City were quite clear the other week in saying that he's not coming to Man City when everyone thought he was. And, you know, the Shakhtar chairman said he's going to go to Manchester, either to City or United. So, you know, by process of elimination, City said nothing like them. I'd imagine he's got United. And I think Fred could be that player that you need alongside Matic to free up Pogba. So I think they can be exciting times for United. I think, and the weekend's win will give them the confidence in that swagger to go into the summer thinking we can actually overturn this next season and haul City in. And as for City, Pep spent so much money over the last 18 months, £450 million, and they're still talking about new recruits. I think what we saw at the weekend, and certainly at Anfield last week, that Gabriel Jesus, for all the hype, isn't quite up to it. I don't think he's not in Aguero's class, and you can now see why they wanted Alexis Sanchez. And I think they will try and get a guy that's going to score 20, 25 goals, or certainly create 20, 25 goals. And defensively, you know, do they need any more centre-halves? They've got Mendy coming back. They've got Kyle Walker bombing down the right. I think they probably need to replace Fernandinho. I think they were looking at Fred, obviously. So they need a midfielder to sit at the base of the midfield. And I think they need a goal scorer, but they'll probably spend another £100, £150 million this summer to pull away again.
We'll see what happens. Interesting times indeed. Augie, enjoy the match tonight, mate. As always, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And hopefully see you over the summer, mate, when you're out here.
Cheers, no problem.
Cheers, Augie. Thanks, man.